reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the people in the synagogue of Nazareth, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. The cure of Naaman is one of the most important Old Testament scenes because it teaches us a central principle of the spiritual life. Naaman was a commander of the army. He was used to being in charge, making strategy, commanding orders. He was a man who had succeeded. Doubtless he had gotten to where he was by a great deal of aptitude. Somebody who was very smart, somebody who knew how to solve problems. And if he didn't solve problems, people died. Cities were destroyed. And he caught leprosy. And again, he wanted to solve the problem. Somebody had said that there was somebody who could cure him, a prophet in Israel. And there he went with great riches. Eventually, he appeared at Elisha the prophet's door. And Elisha, to test his pride, to help him overcome his pride, just sent a message to him. Go bathe 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will become like a little baby's. And that went totally against what Naaman would have thought. He again starts going through everything in his mind. There are cleaner waters in Damascus. I'm not going to do it. This is silly. But then the people who really loved him reasoned with him and said, "Would you have done something hard?" Naaman had an idea of the way God would work, that the prophet would come out, say some prayers, make his hand wand almost over the wound, and bang. He wasn't thinking that the Lord would work in a very simple way, bathing in water. And yet, having heard from his external conscience, the people in his army, he went, he bathed, and his flesh became like a little baby's. Why did the people in the gospel try to kill Jesus? These were the people in Nazareth, people with whom Jesus grew up. Probably some of them had pieces of furniture that Joseph and he had made. They didn't think the Messiah would come from one of them. They would have thought that the Messiah would come from someplace else. He'd behave in a different way. The Messiah never would have been a carpenter for most of his lifetime. He would have never come from those humble belongings. How could this person get up in the middle of the synagogue and say, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing"? That scripture precisely about what the Messiah would do. And worse than that, he starts to give examples in this gospel about how God favors the Gentiles. When there was the huge famine in the time of Elijah the prophet, the one the Lord helped was not the Jews, but this widow in Zarephath, a pagan woman. Many lepers at the time of Elisha, the one he cured was a Syrian, not a Jew. That God actually showed favor to all those whom the Jews were spurning. They couldn't accept the prophet Because when the prophet was asking him to do something ordinary and to see that salvation would come through the ordinary means of a little place like Nazareth, from a person who had labored for the sanctification of the world, making tables, making houses, they just refused. In the same way Naaman was poised to refuse at first. What does this have to do with us? Yesterday we heard a gospel about Jesus as being the living water welling up inside of us to eternal life. Our salvation, our cure, comes from a perpetual bath in Jesus, not just washing seven times, but being washed continually by that living stream within. It starts in baptism. Little do we, in our own reasonings, think that pouring water three times on a little baby's forehead and saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," can expel original sin and make the person a temple of the Holy Spirit, a real adopted son or daughter of God. We would expect that that cure would happen in a more spectacular way. Maybe thunder and lightning would come down straight during the baptismal ceremony. Maybe there'd be other massive types of theophanies. No, God works very simply with that tiny little bath in water. And it has even more power than what happened with the waters of the Jordan with Naaman. A lot of the times we resist going to confession. I can confess my sins directly to the Lord. We start setting up, this is the way my sins will be absolved, Lord. This is the way that I think you should do it. Like Naaman was saying, the hand and the wand. And yet, that's the way Jesus set it on up. Do we trust him in order to allow that cure to happen, for that living water to flow in us through the sacrament? We might think that there are a lot of ways to inherit eternal life. Jesus tells us you have to gnaw on my flesh and drink my blood, and that he is going to be present under the appearances of bread and wine. That the single most important thing we could ever do on any day, by far, by factors of trillions, the single most important thing we could do in any day is to receive Jesus here. Most people think that there's something far more important to do. They're watching the Today program right now. They're preparing for this, that, or something else. They think that there are a lot more important ways to go about living life. But no, Jesus said, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. When we said, Lord, give us this bread always, here he is, every single day, just like God the Father would feed people with manna every day in the desert. What's most important for us in the spiritual life is to put on the mind of Christ, to recognize that our finite logic can only take us so far. It's a gift for the Lord, but the Lord's ways are not our ways. The Lord chooses to heal us in ways that often are ordinary, not extraordinary, but the healing takes place nonetheless. As we come forward, hopefully with souls thirsting and pining for the living God, we remember that Jesus, that living water, flows within. Let us, with confidence, continue to bathe so that not just our flesh might become like a little baby, but our soul might retain all the beauty it had when we were baptized as a baby.